We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Insert goofy intro here. Hey, Chris, it's me, Chad. What's up?
Hi, Chad. How are you?
Oh, I just couldn't be better. We have a lot to talk about, so I'm diving right into it because you never know what might happen with the weather like it is these days. Who can tell what might happen? And so we want to get into this so we can make sure to get Chris safely to the other side. Chris, have we spoken about the Caribbean series just as by way of banter?
I don't think we have.
Tell us about your experience. You took the boys down, the whole family?
Yeah. My sons and I and a couple of friends, we went down to Miami at the end of January, beginning of February for the Cire del Caribe, which is the annual tournament of champions from the different Caribbean winter leagues. So you had teams from Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Panama, Nicaragua, and Curacao. And we got to see a lot of – it was a great time. The event's usually held in one of the four main countries that participate. But this time, for the second time ever, and the first time since, I think, 91, they had it in the States. They had it at the Marlins Lone Depot Park. And it was incredible. I mean, the atmosphere, I recommend anybody gets a chance to go to Winter Ball, take it. I think it was very similar to the World Baseball Classic, if you've been to that or know anybody that has. My friend had been to both, and he said it was real similar. A lot of national pride, a lot of traditions from the Caribbean game, you know, bands walking through the stands, songs, chants, flags and banners everywhere. It was really cool. And I heard that probably inspired by this, the Marlins are going to allow musical instruments and banners in the stadium this year for Marlins games.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the game, we went to four games in 36 hours. We probably, the first game we went to was like a Friday at noon, and it was maybe 5,000 people in the park, so we got to wander around. But Saturday night for the marquee matchup of Dominican Republic versus Puerto Rico, they had 35,000 plus in that stadium that holds 37. I mean, it was rocking. We were way up in the upper deck. It was great baseball. You got to see a lot of big names, former guys like Robinson Cano. You got to see some Hector Rodriguez, the Reds prospect, was there. Edie Gregorius. Vladimir Ballantyne was there. Roger Bernardina. So you got a lot of guys you may vaguely remember were there. I think Luis Alberto might have been there, but I did not see him.
I was hoping you'd scope him out, get us an autograph or something. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. You know, my brother had been during the World Baseball Classic, the most recent one. He happened to be in Puerto Rico during that time. And so got to hang out, you know, at a bar or restaurant during one of the Puerto Rico games. Didn't actually get to go to a game, but he keeps talking about how incredible, you know, the vibe was. And we're actually, we've just booked our summer vacation this year, and we're going to China, or not, we're not going to China, we're going to Japan and South Korea. And already got on the itinerary a Yakult Swallows game. So looking forward to
that. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, the way that we love baseball. We talk about baseball a lot here, but it's just different in some of these countries that really are just passionate about it. And I wish it were more like that in America, but alas, we're Reds fans.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. Send out lots of pictures when you're over there, see what it's like.
We'll FaceTime. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Reds.
Don't give any descriptions or accounts.
We cannot give any descriptions or accounts. That's true. It's probably against the Nippon Baseball League or whatever. So the Reds hit 7 home runs in a game this week. Did you know this?
Is that good?
I don't know. Spring training. So
all right. Good job, Reds.
Runs. Yeah, good job, Reds. So, Chris, I thought what I would do is something that this is a scintillating content here as we talk about the Cincinnati Reds spring training. I'm going to live on the air, although this is neither live nor over the air, I'm going to look at the Cincinnati Reds spring training statistics for the first time. Now, Chris, I know you pour over the statistics every morning in your local newspaper.
My newspaper.
Right, right. And so this is going to be not going to be news to you, but, you know, if there's one thing I've tried to do over the years is to completely ignore spring training stats, and I've done very well at that so far this year. So here's a question for you. Who leads the Cincinnati Reds in OPS so far this spring? You got a guess?
Ray Olmedo.
Sorry, no results. Please adjust your filters. So I don't know who it is actually now that the Red side has gone screwy on me. Fun. I'm guessing.
Is he in great shape? Whoever this guy is,
the best shape of his life, no doubt. So I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try to sort by the OPS column. Sorry, no results. Please adjust your filters. Good grief. MLB, can't you get anything right? So I don't know. But it looks like Christian Encarnacion Strand has a pretty good OPS.
He's good. There's like 3 people right now screaming at their podcasting device because they know the answer and they think you're just teasing this out for a really long time.
It's true. Yeah, they're screaming at their iPod. Their rune, is that what it was called?
Like a Zune.
Zune, yeah, there you go, Zune. What's a rune? A rune is something you get in Skyrim, I think, or one of those fantasy games.
You lost me, I'm out.
Stuart Fairchild.
Is that a James Bond game?
I think it is, yes. Yes, Golden Rune. Looks like 2 players are hitting over 400, Stuart Fairchild and Luke Maley.
So solid.
That's solid. Pitching-wise, let's see what we have here. Ooh, Hunter Green has 11 strikeouts. 4.7 ERA, though. I don't know about that. Andrew Abbott, 7.88 ERA. Yikes. All right, that didn't go as well as I'd hoped. Sorry about that. But what do you
think? Hey, guess what? Spring training stats don't mean anything. And if we can get through the spring with everybody remembering that, we're okay. It's the years where somebody falls in love with Scott Schebler's 632 spring training batting average and makes roster decisions based on that. That's when you got problems. So I think your indifference, my indifference, Nick Kroll's hopeful indifference will be good signs for the year.
Yeah, I really hope Nick Kroll is indifferent. You and I, who cares? I mean, in the past, I'm sure we both either thought, oh, this guy's going to be terrible, this guy's going to be good. Hopefully not in a long time, but it's Nick Kroll that I'm worried about.
Well, I always am. I worry for Nick. Something fierce. He's such a sweet guy.
He is.
And
I
hope for the best for him. So I don't want to get off track, but you know that I will. So like on that topic of indifference and ignorance, and spring training, are there really any jobs or roster spots or competition? Is there anything up for grabs in this spring training for the Reds, or is it all just a matter of stay healthy, get ready, maybe we sort out where Jonathan India is going to play?
I mean, I think that's literally all we're talking about. Let's see who's healthy. Hopefully everyone stay healthy, and, you know, where can we fit in India? Given some other news we're going to talk about in a moment, there's one less person in the mix, two less people in the mix, I guess, when you think about the first two people we're going to talk about here today. But yeah, there's not a lot of drama here, and that's all because the Reds just basically, with maybe one exception, sat on their hands this offseason, because why wouldn't you?
When it ain't broke, why fix it?
That's right. Exactly.
Why mess with success?
Why mess with success? Anyway, can we talk briefly? Because, what's going on there? You all right? Everything okay?
We got a little flicker. We got a little flicker.
Oh, I saw the flicker. That. Uh-oh. If Chris goes out, they're going to be stuck with me for the rest of this time. So, Joey Votto. We have to mention Joey Votto, who signed a minor league deal with his hometown, Toronto Blue Jays, and with invitation to spring trainings. $2 million deal if he makes the team, with another potential $2 million in incentives. The Reds couldn't have given that to him? Couldn't have given him a minor league deal?
Of course they could have. Of course they could have. And they probably could use him. I think it's one of those things to give Nick Kroll all the credit he deserves. It would be really hard for them to release Joey Votto. It would be really hard for them to ask Joey Votto to go to AAA.
Good point.
It would be really hard for them to deal with Joey Votto not making the team. So, you know, I think we saw this with the Bengals, with Joe Mixon. It's like, it's not that the guy, you don't want him in any variety or any role, but he's kind of established in a certain way in this place, and changing that would be very painful probably for everyone and uncomfortable. And for whatever reason, Nick Kroll wasn't able to make that happen.
Well, that's an interesting way to frame it, actually, because I'd been saying for a while, look, at this point, it's clear that he's not really a hot property on the free agent market. And so the Reds potentially, you would think, could get him for a whatever, but also bring him back in a diminished role. That was my whole thing, is the guy's probably still, if he's healthy, going to still be able to hit right-handers. At least I would say average, above average. I think enough to keep him in the lineup against right-handers. I don't have any doubt when he's healthy, he can still do that and hit him better than, say, Jonathan Ennie, for example. But I hadn't considered the idea that, well, there's also this other piece about him being a legend, and, you know, it's hard to it's hard to cut bait on that. If you bring him back with the idea that we're going to have a full year of celebrations of his career, you know, what do you do at some point if you just really can't do it? And you're in a playoff race and you kind of need that roster spot. That's an interesting point that I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm trying to be generous to him here. I mean, I probably still would have said, this is an entertainment business. It's a fan business. They've surely wasted roster spots a lot worse guys. They've wasted roster spots when they only had 24 healthy guys. They have not operated as an organization that is 100% of the time 100% focused on winning baseball games. So, to some degree, I'm giving credit for a hypothetical that the team doesn't even deserve, but I think that's how you think about it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the guy that says, Joey, we'll give you a minor league deal if you want to come back and try out.
I guess the way I look at it, and the reason I say it makes sense to bring him back in any role, is that when you think about last year, the Reds gave 1,372 plate appearances to players who hit worse than Joey Votto did last year. So you're telling me you can't find 250, 300 plate appearances for him? And listen to this list of stellar players who received more than 100 plate appearances on Cincinnati playoff teams since 1990. Cesarius Torres, Jack Hanahan, Derek Robinson, Wilson Valdez, Miguel Cairo, Eric Anthony, Darren Lewis, Jerome Walton, Reds Hall of Famer Ron Oster. Even on good Reds teams, there are at-bats to go around. And me being sentimental was like, why not just throw him at Joey? Now, maybe Joey didn't want that. Maybe he wants a chance to come. At some point, it had to become clear he's not going to – nobody's signing him to be a full-time first baseman. So
I was really surprised at that nobody was even willing to – I mean, and maybe they all gave the same offer, and he said, well, if I'm getting this, I'll take it from Toronto. But I am surprised that nobody was even interested.
How could nobody use him as a DH? How could no one give him 300, 400 bats against right-handed pitchers.
It's going to be really evident in 3 weeks. We're going to see guys way worse than Joey Votto playing first base and DH in the Major League Baseball.
Now I'm blanking on the Immortal Red who started at first base on opening day last year. Vosler. So if that guy can be a star.
Tell me how serious you are about winning.
Right. But, you know, so long, Joey Votto. I wish him the best of luck. I hope he makes the team. I like the Blue Jays hats anyways. I'll get a Blue Jays cap. And
buy a Blue Jay hat right now.
Yeah, go do that. All right, so Joey Votto. So Joey Votto is gone. Someone else is now gone as well. Odds-on Rookie of the Year favorite amongst a lot of certain Reds fans, Noelvi Marte.
Banned from baseball.
Banned for life. He's on the official Pete Rose list.
He's on the ineligible list.
Yes, he will not be eligible for the Hall of Fame either. Which is
not this year.
Actually, probably never, given the way that those who test positive for performance-enhancing drugs are treated in Hall of Fame balloting. He may have just screwed his Hall of Fame chances before he ever got started.
Before it begins.
Suspended 80 games for testing positive for...
Well, that's bad for him.
It's not good.
Not ideal, is it?
It is not. So I guess the question becomes, there's not much more to say other than he's a moron because... I don't know this for sure. I don't know that he's a moron for sure. But they tell me there's no way to take this unless you're really trying to use it as a performance enhancing drug. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I was told.
Well, I mean, his performance has been pretty darn good.
It was enhanced. So
maybe it was enhanced.
Yeah.
Maybe he was smart.
So
not dumb.
Exactly.
People say.
Good point. So in the meantime, this means a couple of things. Number one, even when the Reds inevitably make the playoffs, Marte will not be eligible for the postseason roster. But it opens
That's
up.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. But most impacted by this news, Jonathan India, I would say. That's a bunch of at bats now that will India and Jamer Candelario, presumably. But India has a.
So this is a good question. And somebody, I don't know who to give credit to, but somebody on the X today pointed out that Jonathan India has basically played nowhere but second base in the major leagues.
That's true.
Hasn't even wandered over the other side of the field. So it's a little bit unusual that they're and we are so confident that he's going to strut right over to different positions or stroll or however he gets across, but and just be cromulent there.
He was a third baseman. He was a third baseman in college and when he was drafted. But he's playing first base, and you know, can we just presume he's going to be a first baseman or an outfielder at the big league level? Now, I think it's pretty easy to do that. No, I was reliably informed that it's incredibly hard to just pick up a new position.
Well,
big leagues.
So bad luck for him.
Well, here's the other part about it is he was a bad defensive second baseman. So I mean, you know, were we counting on him to be better somewhere he doesn't have that many reps? So. What do I know? He has good hair. He's a fan favorite.
People love him.
I don't love him, but I like the guy.
People do. You do,
they
but
do.
Not. I mean, you may not, but other people do.
Lots of people do. They have the India jerseys on everywhere you go. So I don't know. He gets more of a chance now to play. But Marte, come on, dude.
Got to be better than that, buddy. Mask it.
It's a good thing we didn't improve our team. But I guess if we're going to lose someone, having it be an infielder is probably the best case scenario.
They got a bunch. I mean, so, do you put any stock in the conspiracy theory that the Reds knew about this? This has been coming for a long time, and that's why they went out and got Candelario?
Well, as you know, because we've known each other for many, many years, there is nary a conspiracy theory that I don't sign up for. I would even say I'm a theorist. You know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I majored in conspiracy theory at college. I have to think that that's the only explanation that makes sense. Because remember how puzzled we were when they signed Candelario? Why? Why?
Nobody could even come up with a reasonable scenario like why you need another guy that plays corner infield when you've got seven already and can always move Tyler Stevenson back there. It's still a 2-year deal, but I guess that's what it took to get him in the door.
Well, I thought the most plausible explanation was that India was on his way out, and so, you know, we're going to bolster the infield. But maybe that's what it was, and now they can't trade India because no one wants him or they need another infielder, but it just makes an awful lot of sense. And so I am going to sign up for that. That is exactly what happened. This is credible reporting from the riverfront.
They found aliens, and that made them sign an extra third baseman.
Exactly. So, other big news, and we're just going to bounce around all the news this week rather than going back to talking about the stats.
Let's go.
This is one that surprised me. I did not see this one coming. Chris, maybe you did, but this week, David Bell, early on in spring training, named Frankie Montas the Reds' opening day starter. I mean, really?
Yeah, I thought that was so weird. You know, I know in Cincinnati, opening day is a special thing, and it's a holiday, and being named the opening day starter with all three words capitalized is an honor and a treasured thing that only the best of the best have experienced. But it doesn't have to be that way, especially when you've got a new guy coming into the team. And I get he's a veteran. I get he's maybe the best guy they've got. Hunter Green started opening day last year. So you're choosing with 4 weeks left in spring training to give a guy recognition or an honor or a plum that he didn't expect and wasn't asking for, presumably, and take something away from your cornerstone guy of your franchise, and he probably doesn't care. I get it. Hunter Green's like, what's the difference whether I start on May 16th or May 17th because the rotation goes? But like, there's a 50-50 chance one of these two guys is hurt, not badly, but is tired and misses a start. And oh, we can't get him lined up for opening day. And like, why make decisions that you don't have to make? Why make choices that you don't have to make? Why favor one guy over another, even if it's deserved, if you don't have to?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It came so early that I can't think of a single reason. I mean, I'm not very smart, but I can't think of a single reason why that had to be announced so soon. But the other part is just this. And let me say this first. In the long run, it really doesn't matter. You know, it's just one start versus another. It really doesn't matter. I think there is some potential, again, and I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I think Hunter Green had a post on Instagram or the Gram, as the kids call it these days, the Gram, that he may not be too happy about it. He at least alluded to that. But I don't say anything to Hunter Green on social media anymore because I got in trouble once doing that. But the part that gets me is you make this decision so soon when it may turn out that you need to have Hunter Green starting, number one. And number two, you just signed Hunter Green last year to one of these deals that we've been begging the Reds to make. Sign these young guys for a few years. You know, go ahead and lock them up. Keep them here through some of their arbitration years and maybe free agency. You just signed him to one of those. It wasn't a crazy deal, but you just signed him. He's the only piece on this young team we keep hearing so much about. He's the only one that they've chosen to actually commit to going forward. Even if you think Frankie Montas is the best person to start it, I don't understand why you don't put Hunter Green out there just because of the pomp and circumstance. Right. And you're our guy.
Again, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter who starts on which day unless you make it matter. You know what I mean? A corner office has good windows, but it's only important because that's where the biggest executive sits. And opening day starter is only important because somebody makes it such and names that person 3 days, 3 months, or 3 weeks early, anoints them as a starter, And they could have very easily just said, I mean, they could have monkeyed with the spring training rotation.
Oh, yeah.
And just had it so that Hunter Green was would have been on 2 days rest on opening day. Worked out that way. We don't care. Everybody's great on this rotation. We're not dissing anybody. There's no reason to say, like, there's no way if you're looking at a 162 game schedule that you say, I got to win the first one. So I'm going to put my ace out there and we're going to win. We're pulling out all the stops.
Must
Who
win
cares
game.
What happens in the next game after that? But we're winning the first one. That's why I've got to go with my best guy. Like, that makes no sense. So unless you're either not thinking about any of this because it doesn't matter and you know it doesn't matter, or you're not great at your job, or you want to piss Hunter Green off a little bit. I don't know any other options.
Well, what about this? Let's say that Frankie Montas, who, by the way, great name, quality name. Let's say Frankie Montas has 3 spring training starts that are so brilliant, you're like, oh my gosh, we got the steal of the offseason picking up this guy. We need to go ahead and make a commitment to him because he's going to win the Cy Young and we're going to want to sign him for 4 years. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. He's made 3 starts and his ERA is 9.39. Never mind. Sorry. That point's invalid.
Oops. No, it's not important.
It's not.
It's not important. We're not saying it's important, but it just feels like one of those things that, number one, you talk about in March because you got nothing else to talk about.
Right.
But this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't seem like I don't see the angle in it. And I do stuff all the time that has no angle because I'm just a big lumbering doof who goes all through my day doing what I feel like at a moment's notice. But if David Bell is paid significantly more than me to manage a much more important enterprise than I'm responsible for around here or this podcast, no offense.
It's true.
I just think he should put some more thought into it. I don't know.
Well, here's what I will say. You are a big lumbering doof, but at least you have a corner office.
It's nice. A lot of lightning outside right now, though.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry to hear that. Stay safe out there. And
hey, I got a backup. I got a battery here in the laptop. I got the backup phone, Wi-Fi ready to go. So if we go off the air, it'll be for a minute. I'll be back in the dark. You won't miss anything.
Excellent. I tell you what.
Which everyone is like, oh, great. I won't miss a minute of this.
Your commitment to the show is admirable. I mean, I guess Frankie Montas is getting at least $16 million this year. Okay. $14 million this year. He does have a mutual option for 2025. Don't get it, but it's not important. And we wasted already more time than we should have talking about it, but I like talking about
dumb stuff.
You want to talk about something else that's really completely meaningless in the big picture, but we're going to waste far too many words on it.
Fire away.
Jose Barrero. You remember Jose Barrero. Reds top
Gone,
prospect.
But not forgot.
That's right. No longer on the Reds roster. He was apparently put on waivers. And this was another one that was a little bit interesting. He was put on waivers so early in spring training because it seemed to me that he was one of these guys fighting for this final spot on the roster. And so I guess the Reds are sold on, I don't know, Stuart Fairchild.
Stew.
Big Stew.
Disco Stew Fairchild.
Disco Stu Fairchild. Barrero is out of options, so I guess the Reds had given up. Given up on the number 33 prospect in all of baseball after the 2021 season.
Rest well, in peace. We've seen this before. It's not the first, maybe the second top prospect to fizzle out. I wouldn't say flame out. Again, it makes no sense. Like, why make choices before you're forced to make choices? But maybe they'd seen enough. They wanted to give him a fresh start, let him be on his way. Maybe he was really messy in the locker room and they just wanted to get him out of there so they could have a cleaner environment. I don't know.
Yeah, there could be reasons. I mean, we don't know.
But he's gone.
And we're talking about the guy that was going to be the last guy on the roster if he made it. And a guy that I always thought could maybe be a contributor, but, you know, he'd had plenty of opportunities to grab that brass ring and never really did. I like the guy. I hope he has success. He seems like one of these change of scenery all-stars. And I don't mean that he'll make an all-star but I mean that a change of scenery might be good for him and he can start fresh and maybe make a roster and be a backup infielder. And
well, outfielder. He may get a World Series. He may get a World Series ring. I mean, they may have an extra one.
One laying around in the laundry room. I don't know. So long, Jose Barrero. We spent more time talking about you than we should, but it's another one that is meaningless in the scheme of the 2024 Cincinnati Reds, but it's just curious, the timing of it. What other big news do we have? Oh, first, before we go, first viewer mail question of the week comes from our friend Brandon Kamek. Brandon Kamek will soul glow. That's Jose Barrero's nickname on the Cincinnati Reds live program here on the Riverfront Network, Late Night Reds on Sunday nights. Will soul glow stand up to the Texas heat? Not sure it's made for it. Soul glow. Do you know what soul glow is?
You ever see soul movie? Glow from Coming to America.
Coming to America, yes.
I didn't know he was a soul glow heir. Eric LaSalle.
I don't know that it... Eric LaSalle. That's right, Eric LaSalle. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that, Brandon Kamek, but that's a good... It's a good movie. Connor Phillips. You ever heard of Connor Phillips?
Is that one of the Patreon guys?
It is. Yes. Connor Phillips asks here on patreon.com/riverfrontandcincy. No, Connor Phillips is the team's number four prospect. And the team I'm talking about here, of course, is the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Already cut.
Oh,
already optioned down to AAA. Which I guess he's a starting pitcher. The Reds have plenty of starting pitching depth, but I don't know. You know, he's 22. Looked pretty good last year. I would have thought, maybe keep him around a little bit. But, again, there's no controversy here. I just thought it was interesting that he was one of the most recent cuts already. Do you have any hot takes about Connor Phillips?
I legitimately thought he was a Patreon guy, so I should keep my mouth shut.
Well, that's generally pretty good.
Oh, he made five starts.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. The other things that really we have here in terms of the news for this week, Nicola Dolo looked good in his spring debut. That's good, but he's constantly hurt, and he's been hurt sort of a late start this spring. Let me pontificate for a moment. There are a lot of people who think the Reds had no business going out and improving the team this winter, because why would you? Because you have so many young players, they're inevitably going to get better. And if everything goes right, I don't want to argue at a straw man here, I guess, but there are plenty of avatars for this this opinion set that you can find out there. Here's the reason why you don't do that. Here's the reason why you go improve your team. You might have a guy get suspended for 80 games. You might have Nicola Dolo, who has had constant injury problems. I hope he doesn't. Rooting for the guy, but you know, he's struggled to stay on the mound. I don't know where I'm going with this other than to just complain about something. I don't even know what I'm complaining about now that I think about it.
I'm just honestly very surprised and happy that he made a start and pitched well, because I was beginning to think Nolo was on the Nick Massett, on Marshall, never-ending voyage to never return to the game. Just lingering injury after setback after complication. And so far, nothing has hit the ground. Nothing is broken. He pitched well. We have at least no reports, right?
Right. Not that I know of. Look, when the guy's been able to pitch, he's looked pretty good. I think what's happened
here. He's nasty.
Yeah. He's got stuff. But I think what's happened is that Nick Senzel has just made me gun shy. Like, the guy's not going to get hurt again. He can't get hurt again. He doesn't have a history of injuries. He's a super oh, wait, what? He got hurt again? So now I'm going to flip completely the other way. I'm just going to not expect anything from Nicola Dolo. And if we get something, great.
Well, Mr. Senzel was batting 227 in spring training for the Nats.
All right, look, I'm still not going to listen to any slander about Nick Senzel on this show.
That's a factual statement about a team that employs segues for their executives.
No, it's a completely unhinged attack on Nick Senzel, and I won't stand for it. So, a couple things here. Number one, the Reds farm system was evidently ranked 10th in Major League Baseball by MLB Pipeline. And so the last couple of years, I think they were fourth and fifth, maybe, or something like that. Anyway, they're 10th now, so they've dropped. But a lot of guys have graduated from the big leagues, so that makes sense. But the follow-up here is, Chris, have you heard about this thing called the Spring Breakout Series?
I believe that was played yesterday on Thursday, the day before this podcast comes out.
It was, he says, recording on Thursday. It's good. This was... I guess, in theory, a pretty good idea, this spring breakout series, right? A showcase for each team's farm system. I don't know. It's kind of like the MLB Futures games in the spring.
Yeah. Did you tune into it?
Buddy, no. Much like every other Reds game this spring.
Yeah.
I didn't tune either,
but I saw someone on the X posted a clip, and it looked like somebody had hoisted an iPhone up on the backstop about 60 feet, and turned on Game Changer and filmed it that way.
Game Changer. I was going
to Yeah, I'm pretty sure the game was being broadcast on Game Changer, but without the scoreboard.
One of the players' parents was in charge of running the Game Changer.
Just a fixed camera way up in the sky. Like, Cam Collier hit a home run for the Reds squad, and you're like, well, he's – the only way you know that is because he's running slowly around the bases.
Right.
You have no idea where the ball went. So, marquee promotion by MLB. Meanwhile, I've listened to like 7 hours of NFL podcasts this week about free agent week.
Right. Oh, it's funny because any of you that have kids that end up playing high school sports, sometimes you'll get a chance to see somebody will stick a phone or something up to or a camera up, and they'll stream it on Facebook or whatever, the game, and you're happy to have it. I've been there. I was happy to have it sometimes just to see whatever.
Oh, definitely.
But if you don't know what Game Changer is, for all of you out there in Middletown, Game Changer, if your kids play baseball, you're going to get stuck at some point where some parent is put in charge of the Game Changer, which is a pretty good app, pretty good idea. If you ask me to run it, that's what they're doing. But you'll get some parent sometimes in charge of it that has never watched a baseball game in their life. And they're trying to tell you what's happening on the game. And it's chaos. And I miss it because my son graduated last year and played his last high school baseball game. But I'm reminiscing over the Game Changer app. So anyway, Chris, you like the Game Changer?
Yeah, the one thing about that game, I looked at the starting lineup, and I didn't see, like, any of the Reds' top picks from, like, 2020 through 2022. Like, they just – those guys are gone, it seems like.
That's true. A lot of young guys.
Your Jay Allen and your Austin Hendricks and some catcher they got out of Florida State who I don't think has ever made it out of rookie ball.
Matt? Matt's one of my favorite players. I got to say, one of the players that did play is, I don't know if he's a real player or not, but I love his name. And I'm always going to love his name. And that, of course, is Jacob Herdebisi. What a great name. Just a classic name. So, anyway, in theory, conspiracy theory, the Spring Breakout Series is a good idea. Chris, can we answer some viewer mail questions?
Let's do it.
Oh, this is terribly exciting. Chris and I have not answered viewer mail questions in a while. This is like it feels like home.
There's a lot of them. We got a lot of viewers.
Too many. We have very few viewers, but the ones we have, every single one of them ask a question. First question from Chris's mom. That's true. These are actual letters from actual viewers. if they weren't. Could I do this? Sorry. Dave Letterman did it better. First question comes from Kyle Kapler. Kyle says, sorry, I've been gone for a while. What did I miss? Kyle, my friend, Chris and I have been gone for a while too. We have no idea what we missed. Next question from Joey Gaditsa. Gentlemen, are either of you attending opening day? Thoughts on Frankie getting the ball opening day? I guess we already answered the second of those. But Joey,
you're asked and answered
one question. Right. If you just ask one question, you're okay. But yes, the second one, you get in trouble. I am not attending opening day. I've not been to opening day in a few years, mostly because I've been boycotting the Reds. Chris, you're going to opening day? Chris is frozen.
I am not planning on it. I have a full schedule of high school baseball, and then we'll be working my day job around that priority, I guess.
Wait. Did you make the team this year? Chris has made the high school baseball team. And Chris is a little glitchy right now. Sorry, Chris. You're must be in a tornado or something. I don't know what's going on.
I'm very glitchy.
Okay.
Tornadoes.
Did you make the high school baseball team? I didn't hear the answer to that.
I did not.
Okay.
My son did. He'll be manning the freshman team.
Outstanding.
So we're all enjoying that.
Fantastic. You know, it reminds me of the old Mitch Hedberg joke, though. If I played Little League these days, I'd be great. I'd be fantastic. So, Chris, I'm sure you would be great at high school baseball. All right, Rex Scott.
Definitely a T-ball guy.
There you go. Rex Scott, Chad and Chris, with opening day coming up soon, what are your greatest areas of concern and your greatest areas of hope for our roster? Chris, let's hope our Ohio Bobcats win the MAC tournament and make the big dance. Chad knows better than most people how dangerous the Bobcats can be once the madness begins. All true, Rex, all true. I'll let you talk about Ohio basketball if you want there. Then we'll answer this question. Greatest areas of concern, greatest areas of hope for the roster. But first, any Ohio basketball nonsense?
I have not seen the score of tonight's game, so I can't comment on their prognosis. But all the best to Jeff Bowles and the boys.
There you go. Virginia, what time is it? Oh, Virginia's game started 8 minutes ago, so they're playing in the first round. Their first round. So they got a double bye because they're awesome. They're not awesome this year, but they're playing Boston College. So greatest areas of concern, greatest areas of hope. Concern, I think it's the outfield. I still think this outfield, as much as I love Will Benson, I'm not sure about this outfield. Greatest areas of hope. I think the rotation, it's going to depend on health, but if they're healthy, the rotation should be much improved, I would think. So I guess that's my answer. Chris, any thoughts?
It looks like while we're recording, the Ohio men's basketball team won their game. There is an X post of one of our guys going like this, which I believe is a W.
Ooh, Bobcat Nation. Is that a thing, Bobcat Nation?
So we continue on.
So I don't even remember what we're talking about. Areas of concern, areas of hope. Do you have any of those? Chris is in tornado country and he's glitching out on me. For those of you that are listening on audio, sorry. If you're listening on video, you see Chris's face. All right, I'm going to move on until Chris returns. He may or may not return. They are under a tornado warning. And so, he moved a little bit on my screen there. Oh, there he is.
We switched to an alternate network. Ooh, lots of lightning, though. I have I think you're right. I think the outfield is the place to be concerned if you're concerned about anything. I think I don't know. I'm still not on board the stew train, but we'll see. I mean, they could have done so much more this offseason to get this team in a place where they had no holes and they had a lot of depth and a lot of redundancy, and they could have upgraded, but they didn't. So here we are.
Gosh, how many times have we had this same exact Stupid conversation. It's killing me. I'm getting too old for this. Andrew Williams. Hey, guys. Our old friend and flamethrower, Aroldis Chapman, made his way into headlines. I wonder what he's up to. Well, let me Google this very quickly here. Dear Lord, what am I looking at?
Okay, so I actually have the same question as Andrew. I saw Chapman was had done something, and there was some kind of scandal, and then I forgot to Google it. So I'm doing it right now.
Oh, this is gonna be great. Let's see Chris in real time. Google.
Oh no. Oh no. What? Oh no.
What are we even doing here?
His mom.
Oh gosh.
Oh my.
Oh my.
For indeed. Once the New York Post is right. It was disturbing.
For once.
Oh my.
Oh my goodness. What I mean, seriously, what are we even doing here?
No, thank you.
I'm not sure how to explain this to those of you that haven't seen it. And maybe I shouldn't.
I say everyone deserves to Google that for themselves.
Google it for yourself and see a really sweet moment between mother and son.
Mother boy.
Gosh. I'm rarely speechless. But when I saw that, I'm like, we've seen everything now.
Man. I'm not even going to try to figure it out.
Skylar Webker. I know spring training doesn't matter, and guys are working on things. I know this, but are we worried about the rotation? A lot of bad starts recently from Frankie, opening day starter Frankie Montas, Green, Abbott, and Ashcraft. And I'm going to answer, I'm going to presume that Chris is probably going to agree with this. I just am past the point. There was a time when I was concerned or excited about what was going on. And I've just in recent years said, what are we doing here? There's been too many examples of players who were great in spring training, and then they turned it back into what they usually are once the regular season started. Or, terrible in spring training, but they're fine. They're working on things. So I really can't emphasize enough that there's no reason to be worried about anything we see. When the real games start, okay, if you want to get worried, that's the time. But I just can't waste any of my mental bandwidth on being concerned about how guys play in the spring, because it's just, we've been shown time and again how meaningless it is. Now, tell me why I'm wrong, Chris.
No, you're right. We don't know what they're doing. It's practice. And we don't know what they're practicing. They may be practicing 6 curveballs in a row. They may be practicing a different grip on a fastball. They may be just practicing exercising. So don't get upset. Don't take too much from an established veteran who is struggling in spring training. They're just practicing.
Exactly. I can't say it more better than that. Next question comes from Rich Thompson. Dear Chad and Chris, I don't have a question, but more. Oh, you don't have a question. This is viewer mail time. Let's go to Jeff Uechler. Jeff Uechler, Chris and Chad, did you see what the White Sox got in return for Dylan Cease? How can the Reds not have topped this without any real impact on minor league depth? Also, how do I get CLE credit when you two host? And that's a good idea, Jeff. I need some CLE credit.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. My here's what I say about the Dylan Cease trade with the San Diego Padres. No question whatsoever. The Reds could have topped that package. The Reds could have had a bigger package. I want the Reds to have a bigger package to get Dylan Cease. But I don't know what to say here. It's clear the Reds were never going to try to improve the team this offseason. We can get upset if we want, but it is what it is. These are your Cincinnati Reds. They were never intending to make a real push for Dylan Cease. And it's clear now because they claimed that, you know, it was going to cost 4 top prospects. Meanwhile, the Padres just waited.
Yeah.
So
that's the story we got back in December about what the White Sox were asking for is either a lot of baloney or was their first ask, and Nick Kroll didn't counteroffer and ran and told the media what the White Sox were asking. See, guys, they want too much. They want too much. That's why we don't do trades. And if he just, because the Reds system is way better than the Padres. I mean, what was it? There were one guy in the top 100, I think, prospects that, that the White Sox got. And the story we read in December was that they wanted four top 100 prospects from the Reds. So, again, who knows? Maybe those guys from San Diego are coming with magic beans in their uniform pockets. But I think there was a little bit of a – the Reds are protesting a little bit too much about the asking price on this one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one, it's a legitimate scenario that they asked for a lot, and Nick Kroll was like, no. And then it gives me a chance to reinforce our narrative. And then never engaged again. And listen, I know everyone loves Chase Petty. I like Chase Petty. Good prospect. You can't tell me you couldn't have dealt Chase Petty and a couple of whoever's and gotten 2 years of Dylan Cease. I do that every single day. Chase Petty may be great, but I don't know that he's going to be great. And so that's the type of thing that frustrates me. But it's just further evidence. The Reds had no intention of actually substantially improving the team. They're going to play on your goodwill. Yeah, you know, depend on your goodwill from last year's exciting team that gets them through another year. And, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I'm still excited about the season. I don't want to get past that. I'm looking forward to watching these kids. But the more we talk about Dylan Cease, the more it highlights the – I don't think it's incompetence as much as it is just complete unwillingness of ownership and management to actually try to compete with other major league teams. And so you can be mad about it if you want. I'm past being mad because it's just what I expect. I assume it's going to be that way because it's been that way almost my entire adult life. So why would I expect that from me? All right, Rich Thompson, I was being a little uncharitable to you a moment ago. I was playing around, so I'm going to go back to your question. I don't have a question, but more of a thought to share. Yesterday, I learned of the passing of Bill Plummer. Rest in peace, Bill Plummer. I saw that as well. As a kid between 74 and 76, I got to see him play a few times on Sundays, Rich says, when Sparky would give Bench a day off. That's a Johnny Bench. I remember saying to my mom, geez, this guy Plummer stinks. And my mom, ever patient with you, Rich, would say, not everyone can be a superstar. And everyone, even you, will need someone to back you up so that you can be at your best. Truly a learning moment that stuck with me and one that I try to share when it's appropriate. So this said, I say thank you, Bill Plummer, and you will never be forgotten, nor will my mother's wisdom. Any Bill Plummer thoughts?
That's a good one. I like that a lot. And I think all of us as growing up as Reds fans have that guy who was the backup, whether it was, you know, Wayne Krancicki ruining your first game. But there's that guy who's around. He's a backup. You're like, what's he doing there? Maybe he's no good, but in fact, he's a major leaguer, so he's actually really good. And he's probably pretty important to what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish there. So I think anytime you see a guy who's on a team for a really long time as a backup or a bench guy, there's probably a lot going on with that dude that you don't see from the outside. So I appreciate Rich bringing that up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that you also pointed out the thing that I wanted to make a point to comment on, which is that Bill Plummer was a career backup. He got a couple World Series rings out of it. It's not a bad little career. Compared to Johnny Bench, he was not great. Who is great compared to Johnny Bench, I guess, is the first thing. But what I would say is this. We talk a lot on this show, and podcasters and people on the Twitter X, whatever it is, always talking about how awful some guy is. Every single player on that Reds roster, I don't care how awful you think they are better than any player you've ever played against. They are one of the greatest athletes in the world. every single one of these guys. We can, you know, we talk about Stuart Fairchild, who really is not going to be a great big league player. He's really probably shouldn't even be on the team. That's my opinion. That Stuart Fairchild's, if I were in the room with Stuart Fairchild, he'd probably be the best player I've ever been in a room with. Well, that's not quite true. I've been in the room with many, many great players. Not really. But people underestimate. And here, and the greatest illustration of this was, there was a video that was going around a couple of years ago of, you heard of Brian Scalabrine? You ever heard of that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He went down to the local Y, former NBA player, not a great NBA player.
A punchline. He was a punchline. And in really, right?
Yeah, yeah, he absolutely was. Yeah, it was a joke as how, you know, he wasn't a real guy. And it was him down at the Y just smoking people. Just, and basketball is one thing, I guess, you know, if I played against some washed up NBA guy, they're just going to absolutely destroy. Even the best I ever was at basketball, they're going to kill me. Baseball's a little different because everybody looks at baseball like, oh, I could do that. It looks easier. No, you can't. And so Bill Plummer was one of the greatest baseball players on planet Earth when he played. And kudos to him. Respect. Tip of the cap.
I mean, you think about it. Bill Plummer was one of the top 50 catchers in the world.
In the entire, on Earth, on planet
Earth, for a 5-year period, was, you know, and then after he retired, I mean, he was a manager and a coach in the minor leagues for a really long time, and as I understand it, kind of a legend in his kind of hometown area up in Northern California. So, rest in peace, Bill Plummer, but a cool life,
no question about it. All right, last question here, and then we will get out. Seth Shaner. Seth Shaner, by the way, hosts a new podcast here on the Riverfront Network called Red Leg Roundtable. Most recent episode, Scott Williamson, Rookie of the Year 1999. And his next episode coming up is about a guy that I criticized a lot back in the day, and I hope he doesn't mention me. Pokey Reese. You remember Pokey Reese, Chris?
Pokey Reese, very good football player.
No. Sorry, I removed myself from the screen.
If you notice, why am I here alone?
I had to sneeze.
Oh,
where's it? I didn't want everyone on YouTube to watch me sneezing. I'm very vain, Chris. Very vain. You know this.
You've got a very carefully managed image. So I
public image,
it.
Yes. Oh boy, Seth Shaner. Can the two of you opine? Yes. Can the two of you opine on the flow of information about spring training injuries and how we are left to decipher just how serious a given situation is? I saw Chris tweet about Nick Martinez and his out-of-place rib today. I hope they find it. Chris, what you doing some tweeting? Some Xing?
Xing. Yeah. I saw a tweet from Charlie Goldsmith of the Cincinnati Inquirer. And he quoted David Bell, Reds manager, as saying that pitcher Nick Martinez, quote, may have a rib out of place, end quote, which would prohibit Martinez from pitching tonight, Thursday, but he should be scheduled to pitch on Saturday. And then he threw long toss after he was scratched from today's game. I'm deeply troubled by the idea that a pitcher could lose track of one of his ribs. I think that's, to me, I'm not a physician, but that seems like a serious condition. How can the ribs are all hooked up, right?
I think
when
so.
When I get down to the Montgomery Inn, they're all connected together.
Right.
You can't swap rib 3 for rib 4. I don't know how they get out of place. I don't know. To me, that seems like I'm not sure David Bell had like the precise diagnosis there, maybe.
So, and no one challenges him. No one, we don't get any more answers. And I think that's the genesis of this question.
Wouldn't you have burst it out? What? in that manager's
Wait,
office?
What?
A what now? Where?
Well, so there's a point here about how. And people constantly complain about the current beat writers and all that, and never ask the tough questions, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's fair. The state of the sports media these days is it's a lot of people who, as we're seeing with the FC Cincinnati saga, if you haven't seen what's going on over there with them, if you're not partial to the team, you're persona non grata. And so you have to be nice. And it's, people say it's worse than it ever was, that you gotta, you know, write whatever the team wants you to write or you're out. But and I think it's true. I think that media coverage is these days, if you're not getting it from some independent outlet, is they're not being honest with you all the time, and which, whatever. I would say you can get honest commentary at Cincinnati Magazine, cincinnatimagazine.com, for those of you in Middletown. But the daily coverage is what it is. It's compromised in many ways. A lot of good writers on the local beat. It's compromised. And I hear that complaint all the time. But tell me a time when that wasn't the case. I'm not sure there was ever this golden era when beat writers were telling it like it is, not dependent on what the access the team gave them. I just don't think it ever existed. I think people think it existed. But, you know, going back to the 40s, they were riding on the train with the team and drinking beers with the players and covering up all kinds of, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was a time.
No.
I don't think so.
I think the only difference is that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the deal was the beat writers would get scoops and exclusives in exchange for looking the other way at certain things or not probing on certain things or kind of going along to get along when it wasn't important, maybe. But now all the scoops go to the national guys. The local reporters, as hard as they work or not, haven't broken a story or a trade or anything. I mean, the last story that was broken by the Cincinnati media was when one of the writers saw a guy in the airport on his way to the stadium, and he got all kinds of hell for that from Brian Price. So, I mean, they feel, and I'm not there, and I don't know how they do their job, but it really feels like they're penned in and they're fed information and they're told what to say, and they have their times they can talk to people, but players and management are much more guarded and media savvy now that I don't know how good you can be as a local beat writer anymore. I think you can try. I mean, if you see some of the guys doing the Bengals beat, they're busting their humps, whether it's, you know, come up with angles of things. And meanwhile, I pay for an Athletic subscription and I read an article once a week about the Reds.
Yeah, that's why I canceled my Athletic subscription. It's just not worth it. I thought as a thought exercise, I do not intend to do this. I will never do this. But over the years, occasionally, I thought as sort of a thought exercise. What if, and look, since they inquire, they're hiring whoever they can get these days. They're laying off people. They're just, it's just a nightmare scenario over there. Post-apocalyptic. But if, let's say there was an opening. And I have a little bit of history writing about the team. Let's say I applied for that opening. And they had no other applicants. I was the only one, because who wants to write for a newspaper these days? Would they hire me? And the answer is no. I don't think they could. I don't think they could chance the hit they would take with the organization over hiring someone that's been critical, openly critical of the team. And so that's the problem. But what's the word I'm looking for here? It's always been that way. They're a large corporation that's trying to make money, and they don't want people criticizing them. And so they have influence. They permit access. So I don't know if that really gets back to Seth's question, but we're never going to get the full scoop ever. And let's just know that going in. And since you know you're not getting the full scoop, just start making up conspiracy theories. Chris, tell me about this documentary movie you just sent me a link for.
There is apparently a 64-minute documentary film about Bill Plummer called Plum.
What?
A Life of Baseball. I'm not sure where we can find it, but I don't know if you if we do show notes or anything like that, but we can share the link out from the IMDb, and it might be interesting to see what a little bit more about Bill Plummer.
Bill Plummer, go look for the movie Plum, A Baseball Life, because I'm not putting anything in the show notes. Come on, that takes way more effort than I'm willing to give. Plum, A Baseball Life. I don't know where you can find it, but I don't know. You should try. All right, Chris, any final thoughts?
No, just, you know, it sounds like this storm that's coming through here has really hit some places hard. So we'll be thinking about those people who were impacted by that. And hopefully we'll be able to sort it out in the morning, and hopefully not too many people are in bad way from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fingers crossed. You're in the thoughts. Hey, look, opening day's around the corner. We've kind of mocked the spring training exercise a little bit today because it's practice, but opening day's almost here. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what's going on. And look, this is how we do the content. Chris, did you just send me something we need to talk about?
No.
In our private chat?
Private message.
So here's what Chris just said to me in our private chat. Oh, this is crazy. I got to tell you about it. It's amazing. It's hilarious.